Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went digging into the ground and started to burn many things we found. But
don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia.
Yeah, solartopia. We're having a hell of a day today with the internet. I think it's the harbinger of things to come. I've got a great show with a great guy today, Jerry Brown, Dr. Jerry Brown of the World Business Academy and Santa Barbara, California. We are going to go through the Diablo Canyon nuclear plant, top to bottom, and see what we can't do to shut it down. Jerry, you with me?
I'm here, Harvey.
Wonderful, wonderful. Great to be with you. I don't know about you, but my internet and phone service is just all over the map today. And, you know, we've got a new Trump lunatic at the head of the commission that controls the internet, attacking net neutrality. And I'm expecting problems from here on in. Don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but just because you're a conspiracy theorist doesn't mean there's not a conspiracy, for God's sake. So anyway, we will soldier through, and we're going to fight nuclear power today with this Diablo Canyon insanity. I want to preface this. Jerry's my only guest today, and we're going to really go into detail on a spectacular lawsuit that to which he is a party. In terms of trying to shut down Diablo after all these years. Diablo Canyon, of course, is at San Luis Obispo. It's surrounded by a dozen earthquake faults. It's 45 miles from the San Andreas Fault, which is half the distance that Fukushima was from the, or still is, actually, from the epicenter of the quake that destroyed it. I am talking to you from Los Angeles. Jerry's in Santa Barbara. We are right in the crosshairs of this nuclear insanity. These two reactors have been up since the 80s. They are crumbling, and we have some very complicated dealings with them. I do want to, before we jump in, tell you that I have posted a major piece on the reactor in Ohio, the Davis-Besse reactor. That piece is at columbusfreepress.com and will be at freepress.org and nukefree.org if I can ever get it up there. And it talks about the falling apart Davis-Besse reactor, which is literally physically crumbling. The owners of that reactor, probably as bad a utility as there is in all the world, First Energy, is demanding $4 billion. That's not a typo, $4 billion from the Ohio legislature to keep this sick old reactor continuing to operate. They claim there are jobs there, but in fact, there's about 600 at Davis-Besse. We know that thousands will be created when Ohio finally goes to wind. There's very good wind power in northern Ohio, surrounded by very good transmission lines, and the wind is actually near the cities, the urban areas that consume the electricity, which is different from the wind in the Great Plains. We also have two major bailouts going on in this country, one in New York State, where the so-called liberal governor Andrew Cuomo has set aside $7.6 billion, again, that's not a typo, to keep four decrepit reactors operating in upstate New York. And in Illinois, more than $2 billion has been voted by the governor and the Republican governor of state legislature to keep three non-competitive reactors operating there. This is a trend all across the country. Nuclear utilities are going into state legislatures, which have been bought and paid for by the Koch brothers, and demanding gargantuan amounts of money. I love how these so-called free market Republicans are all for the marketplace when it comes to things like health care and your basic needs. But when it comes to their buddies with giant nuclear plants, they're more than happy to hand over trainloads of cash and go around the so-called market system. So we have this way. Yes, we do. It's always that way. Jerry, tell us a bit about the World Business Academy before we
On that point, Harvey, as someone put it once, we have socialism for the rich and free market capitalism for the poor. The World Business Academy has been around for 28 years. It is a nonprofit think tank and action organization that works towards the quadruple bottom line of people, planet, profits, and purpose. And it's a place where executives and students of business can come together to understand the spirit and the application of a compassionate corporate governance that addresses both human needs and understands that the world, the community, the nation is going to do much better if companies do good, do well economically by doing good in the world. That should be the mission of business as sort of a spiritual enterprise. And as one of the most powerful forces on the planet, having executives buy in to this concept is very important. About 2012, when the San Onofre reactor, due to extreme steam generator degradation, Southern California Edison, got Mitsubishi to soup up the reactors and caused excessive rapid steam generator degradation, the worst we've ever seen in any pressurized water reactors. Once that reactor started leaking radiation, Rinaldo said, look, we've been mainly Rinaldo Brutico, the president of the World Business Academy, said, look, we've been mainly a think tank, conferences, writing papers, but now this can't go on. We're moving into an action phase. We're going to establish the Safe Energy Project. We are going to close down San Onofre. We're going to work with the other groups, both nationally and locally, to close down San Onofre, get the money back for the consumers. And once that's done, we're going to go after Diablo Canyon to make a nuclear-free California and to move the state as rapidly as possible to 100% renewable energy. I direct the Safe Energy Project for the World Business Academy.
Yes, and we have been honored to have Rinaldo Brutico on the show before. He was not available today, but Jerry, we know you're more than capable of taking us all the way through. Now, Diablo Canyon is the last remaining nuclear power plant in California, California being the biggest state in the country, the world's sixth largest economy. I am advocating that wall that Trump wants to build on the southern border with Mexico, we should, in fact, build on the eastern wall of California, but we'll deal with that. And California is very much setting the pace, not only nationally, but in part worldwide, for the conversion to renewable energy. Now, in California, we have had a number of plants, nuclear plants shut down. The Rancho Seco nuclear reactor, which operated at outside of Sacramento for many years, fortunately was owned by the public. And in June of 1989, there was a plebiscite, a popular vote, and the public voted to shut it down. And by God, it shut down. What a concept. As you mentioned, we've shut the two reactors at San Onofre for major, major engineering and structural problems. And that's been a great boon to the ratepayers and to the public safety in Southern California. There was also a reactor up at Humboldt, which in the northern part of the state, which was discovered to have been built, directly over an earthquake fault. Had the earthquake occurred at Humboldt, the reactor probably would have just fell right into the ground. And there were major projects proposed at Bodega Bay and also in Bakersfield, and these were stopped. So there's only the two reactors at the Apple Canyon, which is more than enough still in California. There's actually only one other reactor on the West Coast. That's the Whoops 2 reactor, Columbia Generating Station in the state of Washington. Then there are three at Palo Verde in Arizona, which are partially owned by the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. Maybe we can talk about that later. But you now, Jerry Brown, have, with the World Business Academy and Rinaldo, have filed a lawsuit against Diablo's continued operations. And it's a very complicated situation having to do with license extensions and so on. I have read the brief. It's really fascinating. And we have the time now to go through it line by line. So if you will give us the history here of Diablo Canyon and how we got to this point with this lawsuit, which I think has a reasonable chance of succeeding, I think our listeners will be greatly appreciative. So tell us how we got to this point with the filing of this lawsuit.
Sure. Let me give you the brief version first before we get into the details, Harvey, because in a way, it's very simple. On June 28th of 2016, the State Lands Commission, on which the three commissioners, including Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom, voted to unanimously void the old leases for Diablo Canyon and grant them a new lease that would extend the life of the plant, a new lease that would run till the NRC licenses, original NRC license, expires in 2024, 2025. So Diablo Canyon would shut definitively in 2025. Those leases controlled by the State Lands Commission are for the tidewaters. This is the coastal waters through into which the intake pipes that bring in all of the water, 2.5 billion gallons of water a day, used to cool the plant for plant operations, for the desalination plant, and for emergency core cooling water. And then when Diablo Canyon puts that water back out into the bay, it comes out 18.5 degrees hotter, having a very destructive impact on marine life. Without those leases, Diablo Canyon could not operate. Because of the many construction errors, the blueprints being applied backwards, the upgrades to the plant, it took Diablo Canyon forever to go critical and into operation in 1984 and 1985. And those leases will expire. The original leases were set to expire in 2017, 2018, before the operating license from the NRC ended in 24, 25. So in order to run that plant out through its operating license, PG&E wanted new leases. A week before the June, and in a nutshell, we argue that the action by the State Lands Commission was both illegal and capricious in granting these new leases without following California law, the CEQA, the California Environmental Environmental Quality Act, which requires an environmental impact report for any leases or actions that could have a possibility of a significant impact on the environment.
So tell us about the CEQA law. Spell it out for us and tell us about the name of the radical left-wing governor that signed it.
I think that was a gentleman by the name of Ronald Reagan.
Right.
And I'm not positive on that. I think it was during the Reagan era. Governor
yes,
Brown has been there several terms. His father was governor back in the 1960s. And California, under Rehnquist-Warren Acts establishing the California Energy Commission, has had very progressive both energy legislation and environmental regulation. To your point, Harvey, about California being the most progressive state in the nation, bar none, in terms of renewable energy and in terms of greenhouse gas reduction, under California Senate Bill 350, there is now a goal set to have 50% of the electricity generated by renewables by 2030. Right now, we are at 27%. So we're going from 27% to a goal of 30% by 33% by 2020 to 50% by 2030. And my namesake, Governor Jerry Brown, has set the ambitious goal of an 80% greenhouse gas reduction by 2050. In addition, the CEQA requires that there be
CEQA is a
California.
Spell out CEQA.
Yeah.
What does CEQA stand for?
It is the California Environmental Quality Act.
What does CEQA require?
It was passed after Diablo Canyon was built. But what it requires is that when there is any action that can have even the possibility of a significant impact on the environment, that an environmental impact report must be done before granting that new lease. In fact, back in December 2015, when this whole issue of the new leases started to come up before the commission, the State Lands Commission, at that time, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom stated in his opinion, there should be no exemption for this legislation for an environmental impact report for Diablo, even if it was pre-existing. Unfortunately, since that time, politics crept in, and Gavin Newsom, our lieutenant governor, participated as a member of the State Lands Commission in a series of meetings in which a backroom deal was brokered under which this exemption would be allowed. In other words, you don't need an EIR, PG&E, for the new lease for Diablo Canyon, and you're going to agree to close it by the end of 2025. Well, our view is that environmental laws cannot be brokered away under any circumstances or under any deal. Now, in that action in which the new lease was granted, PG&E signed on, the Friends of the Earth signed on, the Natural Resources Defense Commission signed on, the Union IBEW 1245 signed on, and a number of other groups, and everyone sang kumbaya. And look, three very important things happened in that in the joint proposal that PG&E offered to the State Lands Commission. One, PG&E says, we're going to close Diablo Canyon by 2025. We are not going to ask for license renewal. That is a big goal. Mothers for Peace had been fighting that for a long time in addition to closing the Diablo plant. But the relief that they would not try, as so many other aging plants have done, to extend the license of Diablo Canyon was big. Number two, they said they would replace Diablo Canyon's 2,240 megawatts of power completely with renewable energy. To use a phrase that's popular today, Harvey, that's huge. This is the first time that a major utility, and I think PG&E is the largest utility in the country, said that we can replace a major base load centralized nuclear power plant completely with renewable energy. Up to this time, people have been arguing, oh, there's not enough renewables around, there's not enough storage around, there's not enough efficiency around. It can't be done. It's a tree hugger's dream. So now PG&E and its consultants put their official stamp of approval on it and said, yes, we are going to do that. And number three, we're going to protect the 1,500-member workforce that has been here faithfully running this plant with a very good safety record compared to many plants for many years, and we're going to retain those workers that we need to keep them for the decommissioning process and for security of the plant, spent fuel pool maintenance, and we're going to do some retraining for other of the workers, and we'll give a severance package. We at the Academy said these are three great things, but there's one very important thing missing. We want Diablo Canyon to close in 2018 now because of the unusual circumstances, the seismic, the health, the marine damage, and the damage of terrorist attack, which could devastate the Central Coast and send radiation into Los Angeles, that are clear and present dangers. And I'd be happy to address each one of those. So when everyone folded up their tents and sang kumbaya and put out the banner, Diablo, hi-ho, the witch is dead, Diablo Canyon is closing, we are the only group left, the World Business Academy, who are fighting to close this plant through this lawsuit that we have filed in the Superior Court of California in Los Angeles.
Well, I want to applaud you for that. It's a spectacular. I've read through the brief. I want to go through the brief point by point with you. We do have a caller who has been on our show before. I don't know how you got through. I thought the 888 number wasn't working, but maybe it is. Paul Kangas, are you with us? Paul? No, I guess not. I guess Paul signed off. Okay, so Jerry Brown, here's the situation. Dr. Jerry Brown of the World Business Academy. We have a deal on the table. I've done three or four shows on this. I mean, it was a big deal. And you brilliantly and beautifully laid out the victory that's involved with the signing of this deal, which is a major utility company has admitted that a nuclear power plant can be replaced with power from renewable energy, 100%. And these are two big reactors. These reactors are as big as there are pretty much in scale anywhere in the world. There are very, very few, if any, reactors in the United States or in the world that are larger than the two at Diablo Canyon. And Pacific Gas and Electric has said that they are capable of replacing them with 100% renewable energy. That is a big deal, a very big deal. They have also said that they can make arrangements, accommodations for the 1,500 workers at the two reactors. And this is, of course, an issue all over the country. We're seeing it, Davis Bessie, at the four reactors in upstate New York, the three in Illinois. Suddenly, the utility companies, which really couldn't care less about their workers, is all arguing for their preservation. And I personally believe that nobody should ever be dismissed from an atomic reactor until it's shut down. If a reactor is going to shut, every worker who has ever worked at that place or is on staff at the moment should stay there until the damn things are shut, because they are so dangerous. And nobody knows these reactors better than the people who work there.
Absolutely.
And so and once you get to decommissioning, you know, that's fine. But every worker should stay at these reactors. And they also are going to compensate the local community, which is fine, and have retraining for the workers, which is also a good idea. And many of them will, since they're technically skilled in general, many of them will wind up, of course, in the wind and solar industry. And so that's the deal that was put on the table. However, right. Small detail, they want to run these things 8 more years. And
right.
Unless you can tell me the exact date that the San Andreas fault is going to go off, I want those reactors shut yesterday. I'm sitting here in Los Angeles. You're in Santa Barbara. You would have 3 hours, 2 or 3 hours. I'd have 5 to get the hell out of here, and I don't know where we'd go if Diablo blows. So your lawsuit is aimed now at getting these reactors shut sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
So and you've... Right? Do I have right so far?
Yeah,
because and you're basically...
our lawsuit, and it's very important, Harvey, our lawsuit is not a lawsuit to shut the reactors. If we win our lawsuit, the consequence of it will be that the reactors will shut because the environmental impact report, which will take several years to do, will go on, in other words, the old lease... If we win our lawsuit and our lawsuit is posted on the website of the safeenergyproject.org, it is also, Harvey, on your website. Thank you very much. But what we're asking for in the conclusion of this lawsuit is, one, that the State Lands Commission set aside the new leases and they're no longer valid. Therefore, the old leases would be in effect, which ended 2018. We ask that the court require and monitor an environmental impact report. And while that goes on, it will take longer than the old lease runs, and they'll have to shut the plant because they won't have any operating water. So a victory in this lawsuit will lead to the early shutdown in 2018 of Diablo Canyon. And we are not opposed.
Two reactors.
Okay.
Yes, okay.
I'd like to make one point about the labor force because, you know, everybody's talking about jobs these days. And obviously, there it is well documented that a dollar invested in renewable energy creates, depending on the sector, 3 to 10 times the number of jobs that a dollar invested in nuclear power or fossil fuel do. And if the studies are not enough, I suggest you simply look at Germany, which is phasing out after Fukushima. Merkel, said, look, I look at Fukushima, a highly technical and industrial society, and Fukushima has brought Japan to its knees. And we know that Fukushima is an ongoing nuclear explosion that hasn't been stopped yet, and we can get to that later. Therefore, Merkel said, we are going to close or keep closed several reactors that are closed now, and we are phasing out all 19 of our reactors. Germany is a renewable energy powerhouse employing hundreds of thousands of people, and the proof is in the pudding. The only industry in Germany that employs more people than the renewable energy sector is the automotive industry, the automobile industry. So there is on-the-ground proof that when you close your reactors, you do not sacrifice jobs. You create high-quality, high-paying jobs in the advanced energy sector, whether that be biomass, geothermal, solar, wind, offshore wind, etc. We are very motivated at the Academy to close these reactors for many reasons. The primary reactor is because we have direct published peer review evidence that the normal radiation releases that Diablo Canyon and every reactor in the country emits and reports to the NRC and are allowed to emit contribute to our cancer epidemic, contribute to higher cancer rates, and kill infants and result in high infant mortality. And as President John F. Kennedy said in 1963, when he signed the historic Nuclear Test Ban Treaty to stop above ground and underwater testing of nuclear weapons, which he knew and which Khrushchev knew were killing our populations, he said, and I quote, the loss of even one human life or the malformation of even one baby who may be born long after we are gone should be of concern to us all. We have commissioned studies by epidemiologist Joe Mangano that showed that in the decades after Diablo Canyon opened in the mid-80s, San Luis Obispo County went from being a low cancer county to a high cancer county. Infant mortality, low birth rates increased significantly. Then we found out that in the new 2010 to 2014 data, infant mortality was soaring. These are the number of babies who die in the first year of life as a percentage of the population. And we commissioned Dr. Chris Busby, an eminent radiation chemist, to look at this data by zip code in the radiation hot zones around Diablo Canyon. And he found, I quote, a remarkable and statistically significant 28% overall increase in infant mortality rates in the group, in the zip code group near Diablo Canyon. You mentioned Rancho Seco. When Rancho Seco closed back in 1989 through a popular referendum, there were follow-up studies done by the Radiation and Public Health Project of 12 Rancho Seco and 12 other reactors that closed. In the 20-year period, Harvey, following the closure of Rancho Seco nuclear reactor in 1989, there were 4,319 less cancer deaths than would have been expected had that reactor continued to operate. So a prime reason why we want this reactor to close now is it will save lives, it will cause less cancer deaths, less cancers, and less infant mortality. And we do not feel that this is in any way a trivial issue. It is ironic that the NRC pulled a study that had been commissioned to look nationally at the impact of reactors on cancer. They pulled an $8 million study because they said it was, one, going to be inconclusive, and number two, it was too expensive. Now, what? How much more hypocritical can you be than to spend $12 to $15 billion on a reactor, but not to be willing to spend $8 million to find out if those reactors are harming the workers and the communities who live around them?
We're speaking here with Dr. Jerry Brown of the World Business Academy, focusing mostly on Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power in general. Diablo Canyon, the two reactors in at San Luis Obispo in California, the last two reactors in California. Jerry, are you saying that that when nuclear power plants open, death rates go up, and when they close, death rates go down?
Absolutely. This has been documented for St. Lucie reactor. It's been documented for not Oyster Creek. Yeah, for the Oyster. What are the two reactors in New Jersey?
Salem and Oyster Creek.
Yeah, for Oyster Creek reactor. It's been documented for Diablo Canyon. In one of the studies we did, we cited 19 peer-reviewed studies of increasing childhood cancer around nuclear reactors. And here's the sad thing. As we know, infants and children are more susceptible to any toxin. I mean, we have adult aspirin and we have children aspirin. And, of course, the developing fetus and the young infant are more sensitive to toxins, including radioactive isotopes. So what we have said and what we see, and look, have the laws of physics changed? I mean, the reason Kennedy and Khrushchev, and Khrushchev was getting this information from Sakharov, the father of the Soviet H-bomb, was he was saying, you don't have to be under in a nuclear explosion to get cancer, leukemia, and childhood leukemia during the bomb test years. Childhood leukemia was skyrocketing as strontium-90, as measured in children's baby teeth, was skyrocketing. And because of this, this is the reason. And look at this. 1 year after the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis, where we almost went to war with the Soviet Union, Kennedy and Khrushchev reached through the Iron Curtain to save American and Soviet lives because they knew that the cumulative effect of even low-dose radiation coming from bomb testing in the atmosphere would increase cancers and would kill children through increased leukemia and infant mortality. So we are saying that absolutely, and we believe, and I think you've written about this in several books, and John Goffman blew the whistle on this early on, when he was the director of the Lawrence Livermore Biomedical Research Project on Nuclear Power. We are saying it is an absolute. This is an absolute documented fact, and this is one of the untold, dirty, untold histories of the nuclear age. And we hope in this environmental impact review of Diablo Canyon to get the state of California to officially look into this, because if the state of California, through its environmental review, will validate this research. It doesn't only apply to Diablo Canyon. It applies to every nuclear power plant operating in the world today.
Well, this is a big deal. Of course, one of the interesting dimensions, sad dimensions of the Kennedy-Khrushchev test ban treaty was in the middle of this major wave of nuclear explosions that there was a lot of chest thumping after the Cuban Missile Crisis, and both countries were blowing up nuclear weapons left and right. John Kennedy, Jackie Kennedy, his wife, lost a baby. And Kennedy had a famous conversation in the Oval Office with Jerome Wiesner, the head of MIT, and asked, it was raining, and he asked Wiesner if the radiation coming down from the tests could have caused the miscarriage, and Wiesner said yes. And that was a major spur for Jack Kennedy to go ahead and sign a test ban treaty. Jerry Brown, what the health impacts are very clear. As far as I'm concerned, I co-authored a book in 1982, for God's sakes, called Killing Our Own, which is available free on the web, by the way, at least as long as we have the web, documenting the deaths around Three Mile Island. We're still hearing from the nuclear industry that so-called nobody was killed at Three Mile Island. I know otherwise. as did Anna Mayo, the great reporter from the Village Voice. We went into central Pennsylvania in the year after the accident and found people dropping dead left and right. And we assume that that's been happening at San Luis Obispo and other reactor sites all over the country. And we're glad, world, really. And we're glad that you've made this a part of your lawsuit. What are the other major pieces of this lawsuit that you filed to force the state of California, and in particular the Lands Commission, it's the Lands Commission that you've sued, to rescind their exemption of the environmental impact reports? What are the other major points that you've made in your lawsuit?
Absolutely. Here's the situation. Under the law in California, both statutory law of the Environmental Quality Act and case law that has been affirmed all the way up to the Supreme Court in California, the existence of any quote-unquote unusual circumstances automatically requires an environmental review. And we argue and document in our 25-page opening brief that the Ablo Canyon is replete with numerous unusual circumstances, any one of which should trigger an environmental review, and certainly in combination. And the ones that we discuss in depth are the obvious and well-known extraordinary seismic risks, the adverse health impacts from continuing emissions of radioactive isotopes, tritium, strontium-90, cesium-137, devastating impacts on marine life from the once-through cooling system, potential adverse impacts of a terrorist attack on Diablo Canyon or from a Fukushima-like catastrophe, an earthquake, tsunami, and meltdown, and Diablo Canyon sits on multiple earthquake faults, as you know, and in an historic tsunami zone. The leakage and buildup of radioactive waste, there'll be over 4,300 spent fuel assemblies on site, and only a third of them are in dry cast storage. And it is the only remaining nuclear power plant in the state of California, and a big one. So that's a big deal. Any one of these unusual circumstances under the law should trigger an environmental review. And that's why we have sued the Lands Commission and argued to the court that the three commissioners, have acted in an arbitrary and capricious manner that violates the law by granting this new lease through 2024-25 for Diablo Canyon Units 1 and 2.
All right, so let's go through these one by one. The first one you mentioned, what's the basic detail on that?
Well, the basic detail on that is that Diablo Canyon was built around near multiple earthquake faults. Additional earthquake faults, including the shoreline, which now we find out they thought it was three different faults, are connected. Some of the faults run within several thousand feet of the reactor building. And as the Union of Concerned Scientists analysis of the risk of an earthquake at Diablo Canyon, they said there is a 1 in 6 chance of a major earthquake happening in every year that Diablo Canyon operates. Well, if that isn't playing radioactive Russian roulette with the lives of the people in California, I don't know what is. We can talk about the radiation that would come downwind to Santa Barbara and go in to Los Angeles. We can talk about radiation that would go into the Central Valley, where some 25% to 30% of our nation's fruit and vegetables are grown, contaminating our food supply. But it would be a catastrophe of unimaginable proportions. Way back in 19... Go ahead.
How many earthquake faults, as I mentioned at the top, and correct me if I'm wrong, the San Andreas, is about 45 miles from Diablo. And the San Andreas, God forbid, that's half the distance of the epicenter of the quake that destroyed Fukushima. And I keep reading almost every week predictions that the San Andreas is about to go off. Doesn't make me a happy camper here in L.A., but I would assume that the San Andreas could completely level Diablo Canyon, and then you've got about a dozen closer in. Can you give us an overview of the entire seismic picture there at Diablo?
Sure. I mean, there have been many studies of this ever since the beginning. In fact, there were geological reports by oil companies of earthquake faults off the area of Diablo Canyon, which PG&E did not report in its original plans. So that this has been well known, and it is one of the most studied areas in the world. And the NRC's own reporting on seismic and then on its Fukushima earthquake update, post-Fukushima analysis, when you look at the chart, which we put into our opening brief, Diablo Canyon sits as number one. It is the number one outlier. It is at the greatest risk of earthquake. And we have to ask ourselves the question, because the world is dangerous enough. No one can tell you if any of those earthquake faults will go off today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, or after Diablo Canyon closes in 2025. But you have to ask yourself, can we accept the downside of Diablo Canyon? The downside of Diablo Canyon, the worst downside, Fukushima was a 9. On the Richter scale, Diablo Canyon is built to be a 7.5. It was upgraded to a 7.5 protection. As you know, Mr. Peck, the senior on-site NRC inspector at Diablo Canyon, put in a report where he said Diablo Canyon is not operating within its operating license because it is not built to withstand the potential ground motion and earthquake faults that we have now discovered. His report was overridden by his superiors, and he was transferred to Tennessee for calling attention to this.
Dr. Michael Peck, the resident safety inspector from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, was at Diablo Canyon for 5 years, and it's astounding that they just blown him away. So we know that Diablo is very, very vulnerable to earthquakes. There's no way in hell that those reactors can withstand the kind of seismic shocks that could be delivered by a dozen quake fault lines nearby, including the San Andreas. You mentioned terror attack. Why don't you talk about that a bit?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Back in 1982, the NRC commissioned Sandia National Laboratories to give Congress estimates for each U.S. nuclear plant in case of a meltdown. This was known as the CRAC-2 study, Calculation of Reactor Accident Consequences. And it found, and remember, this is 1982 data, so the populations have changed and it's very outmoded data. But within 17 miles only of Diablo Canyon, it predicted if there was a Class 9 accident release of radiation, 22,000 acute radiation poisoning, 10,000 fatal, and within 30 miles, 12,000 cancers would occur. This would be much larger today, and of course it would depend on how much radiation is released. In the earlier book that I wrote and co-authored with World Business Academy President Rinaldo Brutico, I happened to be interviewing Dr. John Goffman, a radiation expert, one of the applications in creating plutonium for the H-bomb, a fair-haired boy of the nuclear industry, until in his research he said that there's going to be 57,000 cancer deaths from the operation of the growing U.S. nuclear fleet. When he came to that conclusion, they told him not to publish it. He said, I'm a scientist. I'm publishing. They defrocked him, they defunded him, and they defamed him. And when I was sitting with Dr. Goffman, when the Chernobyl accident was happening, and he was getting the radiation reports from the World Health Organization, and he looked at me and he said, you know, there's going to be over 1 million long-term cancer deaths, lifetime cancers, because some of these cancers are going to take a while to manifest themselves in children and adults. The thyroid cancer from radioactive iodine will happen faster. Other kinds of cancers will manifest slower. And he was right, and Dr. Helen Caldicott has brought to the world the report that they tried to suppress, showing over a million cancer deaths. We're going to see the same things at Fukushima. And so this study was updated by the Union of Concerned Scientists for Indian Point, which is only 35 miles away from Times Square. And if the terrorist attack had not, gone into the ground or into the Pentagon, and they had driven that plane, dive bombed that plane, that jet commercial liner, into Indian Point, breaking the containment shell, the thinner containment shell on top of the reactor, then New York, the way the wind was blowing that day, would have been irradiated. Wall Street would be contaminated for decades, and it would have been, as bad as 9/11 was, much, much worse. And this, we have to ask ourselves, in this day and age, do we want to live with this kind of risk, especially when it's not necessary, and especially when we can replace Diablo Canyon with renewable energy? And to make the point even further, the independent studies have shown that we can confidently state that over time, putting renewables in will cost less to customers than Diablo Canyon, that Diablo Canyon is not necessary to the stability of the grid here in California, and that California's greenhouse gas goals can be achieved without Diablo Canyon. So Diablo Canyon is not essential. It's expensive electricity. It's preventing the penetration of cheaper wind and solar electricity. And the only reason, one of the main reasons why PG&E wants to keep it open to 2025, follow the money, it is through that period that they will be able to amortize and recover all of their investment in Diablo Canyon.
Let's talk Jerry Brown of the World Business Academy on the global warming implications of Diablo. We've had a radioactive clown car of so-called environmentalists running around saying that nuclear power somehow fights global warming, and yet, as you mentioned earlier in the show, Diablo pumps 2.5 billion gallons of hot water into the ocean every day. Can you talk about these global warming impacts of the nuclear power plants in general, and Diablo in particular?
Yeah. When Jim Hansen of NASA and a world-famous climate expert came out and endorsed nuclear power as an essential part of the solution to nuclear to climate change and global warming, we wrote him a letter. He never replied. It was an extensive letter. It was dozens of pages long, very well footnoted. It is called Nuclear Power Completely Unqualified to Combat Climate Change. And we pointed out that even if we decided to replace all of the fossil fuel plants with nuclear reactors, let's leave the cost aside, it would not be technically possible to build them quickly enough to even meet the modest targets of the Kyoto Protocol for greenhouse gas reduction. We were going to need up to 1,000 new reactors, all right, up to 10 times the roughly 100, it's less than 100, current base, at a cost of $1 to $1.5 to $2 trillion. It would never, the money would not be there, and it would never happen in a timely enough manner. In fact, Alvin M. Weinberg, a former director of the Oak Ridge National Laboratory, argues that in order to make any serious dent on carbon emissions, it would perhaps take as many as up to 4,000 reactors, 10 times the existing world fleet of reactors, more or less. So this myth of nuclear power, which is a mistake in search of a mission, which is trying with all of its extensive wealth and PR machinery to repackage the nuclear industry that collapsed in the 1970s because of economic cost overruns, long before Three Mile Island of 1979, this attempt to repackage nuclear power as a solution for global warming is a fallacy. They've done a great job on it, but it is factually not accurate, either at a global level nor in the case of Diablo Canyon.
Well, when they talk about carbon emissions, first of all nuclear plants do emit some carbon, carbon-14, but they also emit huge quantities of hot water and steam and water vapor, which they never account for, and certainly Diablo is a major culprit in that. And wind and solar, of course, emit none of that. So is this a factor that you raised with Hansen in your letter? And by the way, if you'll send me a link to that letter, I will publish it at nukefree.org.
Absolutely. With pleasure. With pleasure. Yeah, all of this was laid out in the white paper. And I am looking right now at M.J. Bradley and Associates, who are the consultants that were hired by PG&E to make the case to the State Lands Commission, to the public, and now to the California Public Utilities Commission, that they were going to replace Diablo Canyon completely with greenhouse gases. However, when you look at the consultant's report, between 2014 and 2030, which is past the closure of Diablo Canyon, they're only actually going to be reducing CO2 emissions in terms of million metric tons by one-third, from 15.9 million metric tons to 10.3 million metric tons. And what the consultants say in their own report, the full solution will emerge over the 2024 to 2045 period in connection with many other things that have to be put into place. So this PR idea that they're going to replace Diablo Canyon with 100% by, you know, renewables, energy efficient, demand side management, and of course the coming online of community choice energy, local control of energy, as you have in Marin County and other places, is not accurate at all.
We're talking with Jerry Brown, Dr. Jerry Brown of the World Business Academy. Jerry, we're almost out of time, unfortunately. You've done a spectacular job here. Give us your website where people can go see your stuff.
Yes. You can go to www.safeenergyproject.org. And there's two E's there. So it's SAFE energyproject.org. And you can see all of this information, our pleadings, our lawsuit against the State Lands Commission, videos that we've done, and all of that information is available there. And if you want to write us, you can write to info@worldbusiness.org and let us know of your interest in helping to fight Diablo Canyon, helping to educate the world about what is happening in the ongoing Fukushima disaster. You can write us at info@worldbusiness.org.
So let's take the remaining time for looking at a solartopian California. California is the sixth largest economy in the world. Number one is U.S. Number two is China. Number three is Japan. Number four is Germany. I think U.K. is number five. And then we have California. And we are proposing, you and the World Business Academy and me at solartopia.org and nukefree.org, to convert the state, of course, the world, but the California and especially Los Angeles, to 100% renewable energy. So tell us in the remaining time how that's going to happen.
Okay. Right now, California is getting 27%, and right now being 2016 data, from renewable energy. That includes small hydro, that includes biomass, that includes geothermal, that includes solar PV and some solar thermal, and the biggest contributor is wind. Now, what Germany and the Scandinavian countries have discovered is that the potential of offshore wind is vast. In fact, the Pentagon and the Department of Energy have authored reports in which they said that offshore wind could provide up to half of the energy of the United States in the next decades.
Offshore wind. That's not even onshore. Just offshore.
Yeah, that's not even onshore, because there is resistance in this. There's still this NIMBY about wind towers and not in my backyard. I think wind turbines are beautiful because I see that there's, you know, lack of pollution, kids breathing better, et cetera. But offshore wind off the coast of the northeast of the United States, that is well underway. And the opportunity is here for major offshore wind providing thousands of megawatts of power, in the future. So it will be a combination of this, of energy efficiency, of local communities opting out of the utilities, as Marin has done, as Sonoma has done, as Lancaster has done here in California, as we here in Santa Barbara are in the process of doing. This has been approved by the County Board of Supervisors, and creating their own locally grown renewable energy at cheaper rates than the utility now charges them. So,
all right, buddy, we
got to
go. And we
it's been a pleasure.
Tens of thousands of jobs. Thank you, Jerry Brown. Thank you, crew in New York. We'll see you again next week in Solartopia.
We needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.